we present the News Quiz of the Year, Part 2, with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the second part of our unique review of the year's happenings. We go straight over to Brian Perkins, who has news of tougher penalties for football hooligans.
9 football fans were granted bail when they appeared at Bath Magistrates Court Avon, charged with plotting to set fire to a stand at Bath City Football Ground, the temporary ground of Bristol Rovers. They were ordered to stay away from matches.
Well, that appeared in The Guardian earlier this year. Where else? Luckily, our teams today have been ordered to take part in a rematch for their sins. They are, on my right, ardent defenders Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Whilst on the attack, on my left, Alan Corran and Andrew Rawnsley. The scores at the end of part one were amazingly 16-all, so let's leap manfully into round one with this late present idea.
My little pony abattoir and pie factory, complete with meat hooks, mincer, and usual accessories. As new, £15.
On to round one rather briskly after that, I think. Where, as we usher out the old, we remember the new of last year with a round of questions referring to new arrivals we've never seen before, nor want to again. Richard, what played a nasty trick on all of us on April Fool's Day?
Oh, I can't think back as long as April Fool's Day.
It was something that there was sort of debate about what it should be called.
If I said the community charge, would that be a sort of hint?
Go on, you tell them.
It was the poll tax.
Yep.
Which was brought in on April Fool's Day. Sensible day. Bring in a very stupid tax. It's lasted until the end of the year, when we suddenly find out that everyone in the cabinet was against it all along. Extraordinary that, isn't it?
So better late than never, Ian, I think, anyway.
Like the rest of Mrs. Thatcher's policies, which they all voted against right the way down the years. Except none of them did. Anyway, this is the poll tax, right, which came in and is going out again. Goodbye. Good riddance.
Hezza is going to do away with it.
Good old Hezza.
Hezza, yeah. He's going to see it.
Like good a job. Dog with a bone, aren't they? Ian, having answered that so nobly, your question now, what made a small change to your small change?
A small change to your small change?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the hard EQ.
No,
it isn't. It's not.
It's the hard same 5P. Man.
The hard 5P bit.
That's right.
Which was John Major's breakthrough, wasn't it? That's why he got the job, because he introduced this little coin.
Which no one wanted.
I know.
So it's another brilliant move.
This is the man for us. That's what got him the job. It's a little realised pack.
And these 5P bits don't fit into any machines, which is brilliant, because people will spend less, and then the interest rates will go down.
When they're seasonally adjusted, of course. It all refers to the beautiful, lightweight new five-pence piece introduced by John Major, the beautiful, lightweight new Prime Minister. In keeping with his party's belief in Victorian values, the 5p piece looks destined to become known as the week's wages. The coin was said to have been specifically designed to reduce the weight of cash in people's pockets, pretty much as John Major was. But John Major's not the only economist with his finger on the pulse, as this striking hospital worker's sign shows.
4% of nothing is nothing. We want 12%.
That's the spirit. Andrew, who got in a 2 and 8, adding 7 and 8?
Somebody who can't do their maths, but that could be any member of the government's economic team.
Oh, no, this is slightly outside of government.
That's John Major's attempt to become a bus driver. Remember this story? He applied to become a bus driver, and they did a maths test, and he failed. Quite true. So he got the job in the Treasury.
I'll give you a clue. It relates to the initials of my name.
Oh, yes.
Maureen Littman.
It seems so long ago, doesn't it?
It is. I mean, we've been quiz of the year.
Yes, that's right. Well, to all viewers outside London, let me explain.
Oh, listen, viewers, if they can see if baby were in trouble. You've had a very hard day, ladies and gentlemen.
We all changed our numbers, didn't we? From 071, well, we went from 01 to 071, or some poor, trampled-on people were lumbered with having an 081, and the estate agents probably told them their houses were worth £10,000 less, and that sort of thing, which probably led to a huge number. Of course, the Samaritans, if only people could remember whether they were 071 or 081.
Well,
they want to change it again now, don't they?
What?
They want to make it 0711. Or... Yes, mark my words. This could be a scoop for the news quiz.
Is there such a thing as a soft EQ?
Anyway, spoiled EQ.
It was BT who disrupted the nation's phone lines with the installation of 071 and 081 to provide extra numbers for London exchanges. The new 10-figure numbers have no bearing on telecommunication technology. They just bring your phone number into parity with your bill. Alan, here's some music for you.
You gotta rock, you gotta rock. B-U-T-L-I-N, rock. Come on, everybody, let's sing. Come on, everybody, let's rock. Come on, everybody, let's swing. Swing to the bubbling.
And the question is, who weren't so high-dee-high on camp?
These were Romanians. Ceausescu had seen fit, as a last act gratuit, to imprison 200 Romanians in a Butlins. Filey or somewhere like that. And they got out. They tunnelled out under the wire and asked for political asylum.
Who was even worse than in Romania?
Yes. It all concerns a group of Romanians on a forced labour sentence at Butlins. We found that the only way to escape the compulsory novelty tombola was to ask for political asylum. That's the story. And the scores at the end of round one are, unsurprisingly, a draw for all. And it's time now for a little political balance from Brian.
Intruders entered the house and gardens of the opposition leader Neil Kinnock twice in less than a week. Police were first alerted on Wednesday when Mr. Kinnock's son spotted a woman at their Ealing home at 7 p.m. The woman was later committed to a mental institution.
Well, maybe that was a little political unbalance, but it's onwards and downwards now with a round all about baddies. Richard, who put the high in high office?
It's that druggy mayor, isn't it? Not Dinkins, the other chap. Dinkins is New York, and the man in Washington is Barry, who's...
Bazza.
Major Bazza.
Thank you.
He was framed by the FBI.
He was framed by the FBI.
Who got this former lover of his to say, go on, take some of this stuff, it's really great. And he said, no, I really can't, because I'm the mayor of Washington. She said, no, it'll be really good. So he took it, and hundreds of FBI men jumped into the room saying, we got you. And they played this video in court.
It's all about Washington's former Mayor Barry, convicted of possessing narcotics, yet not half as stoned as his parents must have been when they lumbered him with the name of Marion. Unsurprisingly, the defense attorney claimed that despite his flamboyant way of life, it had nothing to do with drugs, or as they put it, all style and no substances. However, it was an uphill struggle after being asked, how do you plead? And he answered, mellow. Ian, who paid lip service to a broken promise?
Oh, this is George Bush. And he promised... No, there's no drugs in this at all. He promised to... he promised when he was elected not to raise taxes. And he said, no higher taxes, read my lips. Unfortunately, he wasn't talking out of his mouth. Because later on, he immediately raised taxes.
Right. And he also said, read my hips at some stage, when he was playing golf. Do you remember that? They were asking whether there was going to be a war in the Middle East or not.
And he wiggled about and said, read my hips. I thought it was read my ships.
No, hips.
Hips.
As long as we have some agreement between them, I thought about George, watch my lips so you can tell me what the hell they say in Bush, who reneged on his famous promise not to increase taxes. The president's strategy... at one stage involved officially declaring America broke. Or as he said at the time, here's an idea, let's run it halfway up the flagpole and see who plays the last post. something a little nearer home now.
The water treatment works, which poisoned 20,000 people in the Camelford area of Cornwall 2 years ago, has won a regional incentive scheme award.
And for you, Andrew, another baddie, but not necessarily human. Listen to this.
For knowing what that is. It's Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Very good. It's actually being played by the Temple City Kazoo Band. And you get your bonus for knowing it was Staying Alive. God knows, I didn't know what it was at all. Your question, Andrew, is what was the beef about healthy eating in the past year?
Oh, this is mad cow disease, or Mrs. Thatcher, as is otherwise known. After a particularly severe outbreak of her at various summits around Europe, the Europeans insisted that we ban any further exports of Mrs. Thatcher across the Channel, and so we obliged in the end, and the Tory party did, and put her down once and for all, replaced her with nice, sane, boring Mr. Major.
What they call mad how disease, isn't it?
I remember Gummer poisoning his child, remember? Force feeding his child hamburger.
That's right.
Only politician wants to spend less time with his family. Killing them.
It's about BSE, which the older of us used to call O levels. At the time, the panic reached even as far as the Kremlin. Gorbachev was rumoured to have taken British beef off the menu during Princess Anne's visit and then put it back again on a visit of Boris Yeltsin. Alan, who swore to tell the truth but not to Congress?
A baddie. A Poindexter. It's, are you sure this is... I've got a void about last year. Is this really only last year? It's about 1938. This is the residue of Irangate.
Yes,
and
sir.
Pieces of Ronald Reagan's long barrel, were being exchanged for parts of Israel and dodgy, iffy hamburger. It's a very old story. I didn't even realise it was this year. But
it's when Iran was the enemy. Do you remember that?
I live in North.
Seems a long time ago.
Yes.
They changed the letter at the end. Now we're terrifically good friends with Iran.
It's the admiral of the good ship Sing Sing, John Poindexter, who was jailed for 6 months for lying to Congress during the arms for hostages scandal known as Ravengate. Throwing himself at the mercy of the court, Poindexter asked for another 45 similar offences to be overlooked. Things might have looked better for him in the witness box if he hadn't taken the oath and immediately shredded the Bible. And the scores at the end of round two have taken an amazing step forward because Alan and Andrew are 8, but Richard and Ian, thanks for a bonus point, are 9.
Bee Gees, you see, Alan.
I knew it was a kazoo band. They came up last week.
Who would have
you deserve
that?
A bonus for that. We'll sort it out later. And you'll get one, won't you, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, no, he won't. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, buttons, why am I so sad? Can we get on to round three? A piece of music for you.
Can we just say it was the Kazer band? No, we won't bother.
And now, in the spirit of goodwill towards Europe and 1992, we present a tribute to our journalist friends on the continent with this piece published in the paper West France in English.
The treatments of the British royal family, which were ordinarily revalued every year to try to rapture up laboriously the inflation, come to be augmented in one alone time for a decennial. With this new system, the Queen beneficiaries of an augmentation of 55%, which ports her emoluments from 50 million francs in 1990 to 79 million in 1991. And if it's the young Prince Edward who approaches the tin bale with a bound of 400%, all the other members of the family are also realising very good operations. Except at one, the poor Prince Charles, who doesn't make party of the civil list, and of this fact, has uniquely to live the rents of his Duchy of Wales. At price, where is the butter? he has certainly some difficulties to join the two tips.
Come back, Mrs. Thatcher, all is forgiven. So to round all about European fellowship. Richard, the question you've waited all year for, which European was ignored by all the others?
This is the former leader of the Daily Mirror, I think. Who produced this? Oh, now, this does seem like about 100 years ago, when he produced this amazing newspaper.
Folded. That was the London Daily News. That was last year.
The European is still in existence, which is quite amazing. Has anyone seen it recently?
Yes, it piles of it everywhere.
Yes.
Great drifts of them blocking the M6 at the moment. Some people have been trapped in their cars for 22 hours and snow clouds could get through.
With nothing to read.
Anyway, it's going to be turned into, it's going to be sort of shredded up and turned into some kind of animal feed. And they're going to export it to the common market. I think that's the plan.
Dear me, it's all about the launch of the brand new all singing, all dancing, all closing down in a fortnight newspaper, The European, which promised a totally new approach to journalism. Pictures of someone else's royal family. But now, Ian, here's some music for you.
Bonus point for saying that's a Bethlehem Kazoo ensemble.
Yes. I haven't got over Christmas yet. Let me get to my point. Your question is, where had poor little lambs gone astray? Terribly easy.
Terribly this rich. Is France.
Yeah. Or oui.
Where,
De Point, I guess.
Geoffrey Howe.
Lorries full of Sir Geoffrey Howe. We're attacked viciously by French farmers. No, this was English lamb being exported to the continent, and the French farmers didn't want it. And they decided they would roast the lamb inside the lorry, which they did. They set fire to the lorries and killed all the sheep.
With a bit of marinated British lorry driver to go with it as a sort of side dish.
Which refers to the ongoing dissatisfaction of French lorry drivers expressed by their impromptu barbecues of anything British that went... Now they started treating our livestock a little more humanely than just feeding them on Perrier. Andrew, where did two historical boars meet halfway?
Edward Heath and Saddam Hussein.
Give him a bonus for that. Anything to liven the thing up. Come on.
Oh, yes, of course. And there I was thinking it was German reunification. No, it's the Channel French supergun again, isn't it? Which was finally completed. And they sort of cracked their way through the hole and stared at each other and said, well, is that it? And then they ran off again to their respective ends of the tunnel.
Setting light to sheep as they ran.
Yes.
Anyway, the answer to where did the two historical boars meet halfway, the answer is under the English Channel, where the two tunnel boars finally met. The French half a tribute to modern technology, and the British side a few bits of spare tunnel left over from the Northern Line. Alan, which war was said to have ended on the 3rd of October?
Is this the baddies round? I've forgotten. What's this round called?
God knows, I've forgotten. It's the continental one.
Oh, it's the continental one.
It's the continental one, yeah.
This is Sudetenland. This is Chancellor Kohl's last territorial claim in Europe. Just before he takes over Poland. Probably marches on Iraq. Yes, 21 million East German hostages were absorbed by West Germany for a greater Europe. Was Nicholas Ridley this round, or was that last year? 3 years ago. That obviously upset Nicholas Ridley terribly, or vindicated Nicholas Ridley, who may well be the next Prime Minister. Oh, I hope he... No, wonderful wartime Prime Minister Ridley. Probably getting into his siren suit now. We had a smoker last time, and a bloody good job he did of it, too. I speak for all smokers.
Well done, Alan. Thank you very much indeed. It's the Second World War is the answer, which was considered to be finally over at the signing of the treaty marking unification of Germany, which led to a smile appearing on Herr Kohl's face, large enough to suggest they'd change the result. All of which was hastily brought forward to make sure that Bonn got East Germany before the official receiver did. And the scores, after all those bonuses backwards and forwards, I might just as well have saved my breath, because the score are 14 all. We're still tied. Well, before the pace of the contest reaches fever pitch, it says here, we better take time out for a little spiritual contemplation with this correspondence with a St. Lawrence parish magazine.
Dear editor, I'm worried that one of my neighbours is growing marijuana. She swears it's cabbage, but I'm not so sure. What do you advise, Worried of Vicarage Road? The reply reads, Dear Worried of Vicarage Road, my advice to you is to ask her if you can try some. Then, if you're still worried after half an hour, it's cabbage.
On to the very last round now, which is all about the unfairly accused. Richard, wrap your ears around this.
Ride, Ranger, ride. You have conquered every foe since 100 years ago. Ride, Ranger, ride. For the Rangers that have gone, you have pledged to carry on. Ride, Ranger, ride.
Sorry, it isn't kazoos. Just people singing about riding. And the question is, who was back amongst the winners on his first time out?
I think you'd better answer this one, Barry.
This is Lester Piggott, surely.
Of course it is. Oh, is it?
Yes. Who's wearing new colours? Makes a change from little arrows on them.
And the curious thing was that he made his comeback at Leicester.
Amazing. Oh. And the commentator said, it's Leicester on the outside. Which was a change.
It's all about Lester Piggott, or as he's known to his friends, 069043. Former champion jockey who left the custody of the loser's enclosure and rode his first two winners on his comeback tour of Chepstow Racecourse, but was beaten on his first race in a photo finish. Apparently he would have won had he not stopped to pose for the profile. Now for news of another innocent.
This is Christine Avery of Golders Green, who was tied to a refrigerator door at gunpoint by two raiders, has been praised for her coolness.
Andrew, it's your question again. Who bottled a problem at source?
Perrier.
Voila.
Oh dear, they said. Our Perrier's coming with a sort of benzene flavour instead of the lemon flavour or the pure flavour you can get. What I've always found extraordinary about the whole Perrier thing is the demand is supposed to gone on and up for years and years, and yet the amount of Perrier from this one little spring sitting somewhere in central France seems to produce billions of gallons every year and keep everybody in their Perrier.
Well, I think it's just French sources, you know. Have you ever driven down a French motorway? You see lines of French and stand. They're different people. their water table is different from ours.
I stick to Highland Spring myself.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
You do it. Just one question. Come on, pull yourself together. There's only one question to go.
I know. I'll get on with this fast.
Now, Alan, last question of the year.
Right. Finally, Alan, who in the West End was praying for a miracle?
Oh, Jacob. This is Geoffrey Bernadette, who was extremely unwell. I can't remember. It was a sort of Bing Crosby film. 12 million nuns put their pennies in a tin in order to make a musical based on The Million and Once Nun, and it ran for about 8 minutes before it folded. It wasn't very good.
Yes, that's right. It was the writers and backers of Bernadette, the No People's musical, about a naive girl who had a vision of someone buying a ticket. Oddly, the show had attracted 2,500 small investors, of whom only 500 kept their faith long enough to attend the first night. However, it seemed to be enjoyed by the audience, many of whom could be heard coming out whistling the begging letters. The show died within a week and was open again 3 days later. I know you're all eager to know who the year's champions are, but we'll prolong the misery by asking the teams for their favourite cutting. Richard, do you have a favourite cutting?
Well, there's quite a funny one here about my friend Lord Rees-Mogg, who's in charge of stopping filth on the telephone. He says, Lord Rees-Mogg admitted that some of his preconceptions about the incidence of sex and violence on television had not been fulfilled since he began monitoring programmes. I have been learning on the job, he said.
Ian.
This is another one about the leadership contest which caught my eye from the Times of Zambia. It said, Mr. Heseltine spent the weekend shooting near Oxford while the Tory party members of his Henley constituency held an urgent meeting. One aide said on Sunday, he doesn't hit anything. He's the peasant's best friend.
Well, we won't get a peasant's revolt about the poll tax then. Andrew.
This is from the Wiltshire Times, which reports that the Wiltshire Superloo saga has continued this week with the theft of a loo from a building site in Hindon near Tisbury. It is 8 foot by 4 foot and valued at £664. Police spokesman said, we have nothing to go on. All that's left is a hole in the ground. Police are looking into it.
Alan.
Memorial cutting.
Nice to hear them flooding back.
I have one, Barry, that really ought to be read by Perkins, who is the exemplar of how this should be done, but it's from the Beds and Butts Observer. At the first meeting last Tuesday of the Luton Training Workshop, it was decided to hold a training workshop on how to conduct training workshops. First question came from Mr. Brian Stamp, who inquired whether people conducting the training workshop had got the training to conduct a training workshop, train people to conduct a training workshop. And Mr. Stamp was asked to leave.
And on that cheery note, let me tell you that the scores at the end of this part of the contest are 18 all, and the scores in our last quiz of the year were 16 all, making a total of 34 all. So the whole thing has become absolutely ludicrous and ends, as I think is only really fair, because we've done a lot of super shows this year and I've enjoyed it tremendously. And I like to think it's a wonderful way to finish. Everybody square. But we've just got time for one more news flash.
A Dutchman who hid cocaine in his underpants when he arrived at Harwich Docks was jailed for 10 years at Middlesex Guildhall Crown Court. Paulus Wiesel, 31, from Nijmegen, was convicted of possessing 195 grams of cocaine worth £37,000. He claimed the drugs were plants.
Happy New Year, and with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz of the year were Richard Ingram, Ian Hislop, Andrew Rawnsley and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by John Langdon and the producer, Diane Messias.